Whitaker, Foster, myself, Williams, Co-Chair Harris, Vice Chair Meyer, Representative Hawker, Stokes, Petula, and Berkowitz. The time is 4:30 on Monday, May 19th. We have two bills today that I'd like to move out, and that's 185 that we heard yesterday in Co-Chair Harris. Third public testimony, closed public testimony. The bill was held so Representative Berkowitz could ask some questions with understanding that the minority would not object to the bill advancing from second to third. One day, Representative Berkowitz has several matters we'll discuss. And the other bill that I'd like to move out also is Senate Bill 117. We already had that public testimony. And that's a longevity bonus program. We'll start with Senate Bill 185, Representative Berkowitz.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. There's an amendment which is being duplicated and passed around, but let me make a couple of preliminary comments. One of the concerns I have with moving a bill of this magnitude as quickly as we have is that we don't have the opportunity to fine-tune the programs that are contained in it, and I think that we're making all these incentives available without knowing whether we're actually optimizing the incentives for oil and gas exploration in the state. I have questions about whether we're doing enough to make access to information as readily available to new operators, what we're doing to improve access to facilities and infrastructure, what we're doing to minimize tariffs, and what we're doing to help with the cost structure in a favorable way, and not being able to address all these issues within the time constraints that we have is frustrating. I wish, for example, that we could have some significant testimony and some significant understanding about whether 10 years hold on the data is too much. There's some indication I have that suggests 2 years would be better and would encourage competition, but we don't have that opportunity. So what I've done is prepare an amendment which is being passed around. What the amendment does, should we adopt it, is, and I'll move it at this point, Mr. Chair.
Care to move the amendment?
Move it.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Do we have someone from the department that can talk to this amendment? If we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask, President Berkowitz, Representative Berkowitz, have you shown this to the department or talked to them about this at all?
Okay, good. Thank you.
What the amendment does is to ensure that the department does what it says it's going to do and that the legislature is included in the loop in terms of generating a report that has to do with a more comprehensive approach to oil and gas incentivization in the state. And I've enumerated a couple of different areas that I feel should be included in that report. Specific incentives that can be used to spur oil and gas exploration, what kind of comprehensive plan we should implement to lower pipeline tariff for independent oil producers, a comprehensive plan for reasonably priced access to facilities and infrastructure, an informational study on the higher cost of exploration and development in the state and plans to mitigate that higher cost, and finally, the potential costs and benefits inherent to each incentive and plan. I don't know whether this is an exhaustive list, but based on the little bit of research that I've been able to do and the conversation I've had, these areas merit further study, and I think the legislature, when we visit the question of oil and gas incentives in the future, should have this kind of study at our disposal so we can make better informed policy decisions.
Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know that this is a comprehensive list, but it's a reasonable list. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have my name added to the amendment, please.
Can we hear from?
No.
Yes, please state your name for the record and your title, please.
Steve Porter, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. When We originally had a discussion with Representative Berkowitz. I did not read the details of this, and I should have at that time. My thought was when he mentioned a report to the legislature, I thought it had to do with a report on the effectiveness of the bill before us. This is a little more comprehensive list. I understand the validity of the information before us and the question before us. I'm trying to figure out how much work is entailed in this. We're going to be doing some of this stuff anyway. I appreciate that. And working on a lot of these issues. The words comprehensive plan give me cause to at least pause in how much effort the expectation is from the committee.
Say plan.
Plan.
That'll work. That'll help a little bit because if the intent of the committee is to review this and really begin to work the issues and report back to the committee, we're comfortable doing that. What we're concerned about is the level of detail that's required. Because if it's sufficient, then we would require personnel, additional personnel.
What was your suggestion?
That we delete the words plan or comprehensive on lines 11 and 13.
I object for discussion.
Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair, being very constructive in the criticism here, leaving the word plan to me implies that there is in fact an intent to lower the pipeline tariffs for this, or that the intent to provide, quote, reasonably accessed. It troubles me a little bit because it's implicit there's something wrong with the way we're doing things currently and that we need to be changing materially how we do things. I would be more comfortable with an amendment that in some way, without prejudicing my comment on the overall amendment, but to amend the amendment, I would be more comfortable with something that, you know, involved, you know, the report must include a discussion of, instead of planning to, but the feasibility of lower pipeline tariffs, or the feasibility of reasonably, such an awful word there, but I'd like to see a little more thought go into the sentences that do not, again, box us into an intent that we may not, in fact, be wanting to make.
Well, if I could, maybe I can help out here. I mean, if you look at the beginning of the sentence, the report must include a discussion of specific incentives,
pipeline tariffs. For independent and reasonably priced access.
Yeah. The price of?
Mm-hmm.
The cost of pipeline tariffs for independent.
Yes, sir.
Chair, one of the possibilities is on the second one, number two specifically, is possibly to say an analysis of the impact of pipeline tariffs on independent producers, which I think gets to your
excellent
subject.
Could you state that again?
An analysis of the impact of pipeline tariffs on independent producers. So instead of four, it'd be on.
So look what 8 hours sleep will do for a man.
Okay, well.
I haven't looked at the third one yet.
To make it easier for us to work here, we'll say, if it's all right with you, that I want to get it out without too much formality, that we get his wording in there, and you have no objection to it?
I have no objection to it.
Okay. Do you have that?
I believe so. Number two, an analysis of impact tariffs on independent producers?
Now, analysis of the impact of pipeline tariffs on independent producers. In effect, you could probably also say an analysis of facility access, access to facilities as well. You might just combine the two into a single item. Because the two issues are facility access and pipeline tariffs on independent producers. Is that correct?
Combine them both.
Right.
Yeah.
To combine two and three.
Yeah.
And the second clause would be facility access and infrastructure. Or?
Yeah. Say it again, please. Maybe we could. Why don't we get out? We'll call the meeting back to order. Representative Perkowitz.
I withdraw my motion and would move new amendment number one as. Relayed.
If you would like, I'll have secretary read it.
Okay.
At least the portion that we changed.
All right. Starting on line 11, subsection 2 reads, an analysis of the impact of pipeline tariffs on independent oil producers, and 3, an analysis of the costs of access to facilities and infrastructure.
Okay. Any objections to the amendment? Representative Meyer.
I'll object just for the purposes of asking a question as to what the maker of the amendment means as far as independent oil, because at least in the title of this bill, it's talking about Cook Inlet oil, so I'm wondering if that would be Marathon oil, Unocal, and if you're concerned about access to the pipeline in the Cook Inlet, or you mean TAPS? And when you say facilities, do you mean the facility access to facilities at Cook Inlet or TAPS or all of them? Somewhere there's probably a definition for independent oil, but I'm not sure what that is.
To answer that, sir?
So I guess my question is, like, ConocoPhillips, are they an independent oil?
Please state your name for the record again, please.
For the record, Deputy Commissioner Steve Porter, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. It's positive, you know, the idea here, we understand the idea, and we might be able to, I'm not sure if independent actually includes anything. The only thing that we might want to, are we focused only on North Slope here at this point?
It's mostly North Slope. May I? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mostly North Slope and mostly non-carriers.
Right.
I think would probably be the, I don't know how but, we want
to
put that.
What we might want to do is to be, through the chair.
Yes.
What we might want to be is to be over-inclusive, which is what we did on number 3. We deleted all the independent oil producers. You said the analysis of the cost of facilities and infrastructure, which gave us an over-inclusive opportunity to deal with the issue. We may want to do the same thing with 2 as well. It's just be a little over-inclusive. We understand the intent, and we can provide the report.
Chair, I think that would be better because, again, just looking at the title of the bill, the focus is on the Cook Inlet, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure who is an independent oil company in the independent area.
No, it doesn't, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berkowitz.
It doesn't focus solely on Cook Inlet. It also talks about credit for certain exploration expenses, which, as I understand, could be anywhere in the state. So,
Mr. Chair. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you. I know what the intent is, and I know that Steve Porter knows what the intent is. The intent is talking about pipeline tariffs, specifically TAPS, independents being the book. We've got a book of independents who are in Alaska trying to do business. We say they can't for a number of reasons, specifically pipeline tariffs and facilities access. That's what we're talking about. You know what the problem is.
Right.
We want an answer. Is that clear enough, or do we have to spell it out, independent, this pipeline, that facility? I don't think so. They know what we want. Give it to us. We'll tell you if we agree or disagree. Is that clear enough?
Is that your understanding, sir?
It is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now you need to relay that to the Commissioner of Natural Resources, who's supposed to do this, not you.
Is there any more questions? Representative Hawker. Representative Hawker.
When the Secretary's ready, as much as we clarified 2 and 3, I'd like to offer also a clarification of lines 4 and 5.
What's that?
And if I was able to rewrite these, I would have 4 state in a consistent format with 2 and 3, an analysis of the costs of exploration and development in the state and opportunities or approaches to mitigate that higher cost. The Secretary has that.
So an analysis of the
costs
of the costs
of exploration and development in the state
and opportunities to mitigate that cost.
Opportunities or approaches to mitigate that higher cost.
Mr. Chairman, I think if I might, just a point of clarification.
Representative Whitaker.
Representative Hawker, we've all gotten reports and analysis that cover every range of possibility. I don't think that's what you're after. I know it's certainly not what I'm after. And I don't want the department to misinterpret that that is what we're after. We're after what is possible and probable. And I don't think we need to go any further than that. Your language is good. But I don't want them to make it comprehensive. We're not looking for every range of possibility. Am I correct, Representative Hopper?
Through the chair, absolutely. My view here is a very focused, what is a viable and immediate opportunities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, with this new language, I'm hearing Representative Whitaker saying that what we have here is okay as it is written.
No, I think that Representative Hawker's suggestions are good ones.
Okay.
If I may then modify the end of line 5 with the concurrence of the maker of the motion, it would be number 5 becomes the potential costs and benefits inherent to each option.
Okay. That's amendment to the amendment. Any objections? If not, any more objections to the amendment? To the new amendment number 1. If not, the new amendment number 1 is adopted. Is there any more amendments before us? Yes.
The Chair, Steve Porter, Deputy Commissioner for Revenue. I just want to make one clarification. The information coming from this does not, the information that's in the bill, sections 1, 2, and 3, and the information that you're requesting here are very, very different. The information you request, we could not, by the time frame set out in this, we could not provide an analysis of the impacts, for example, of the legislation before us. We need a couple of years for that. What we can do is, we can do this, but I just want to clarify that this has, I would say it has nothing to do with the current legislation, but we can't analyze the impacts of the current legislation by January.
On that point, which is one of the fundamental problems I have with this bill, is if you've got the experts who can't analyze the impacts when they have access to the data every day and the information every day, we're a bunch of neophytes gathered around a table expected to crunch this out in 2.5 days.
Through the chair, there's possibly a misunderstanding of the term impacts. What I meant by impacts is the results of the effectiveness of the legislation. That effectiveness won't really happen over, it'll be over a period of a couple of years. By the end of the legislative session next year, we'll be able to provide some additional data because we'll have one expiration season. We'll be able to provide some information. But I was more talking about results. My apologies.
I just want to be clear. My intent with this was, so next year when somebody comes up with a gas or oil incentive bill, I can look at this report and say, this is an approach that has the following consequences. It's been used in different places. This is an analysis. And you know, hopefully it'll have a fabulous bibliography in it that it'll give me a place to keep looking.
Representative Whitaker.
I'll pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections? Any more objections to the discussion on the bill? What's the wishes of the committee? Representative Foster.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and move out as amended with the attached open notes with individual organizations, SB 185.
Any objections? If not, the bill moves from committee with individual recommendations, Pat Friskenlein. We'll go to 117. We heard the bill. We closed public debate. Are there any amendments? Are there any amendments to the bill?
Yes, sir. Okay. We had staff earlier. I think they were holding.
Billy boy. Huh, you're going to rewrite the whole bill.
I don't know. I'm going to make my effort. I get 6 votes.
May it be. May it be in every way.
Everyone have a copy of the bill. Or a copy of the amendment. I'll object.
Thank you. You want me to just send a second?
Would you please talk to your amendment?
Thank you, sir. My amendment, recognizing realities that I was at the press conference the other night, and I saw what the plans were for the longevity bonus on that sheet. I wanted to offer another alternative. This offers a income-based needs program. And the income level I took is the same income level as Denali Kid Care for singles and couples. It's even the reduced amount, the amount that was passed 175% of poverty previously. This issue has weighed real heavily on my mind. I've worked with the governor's office. They've been real helpful. They worked with me to see the numbers. They weren't satisfied that this got them to where they wanted to go fiscally in reductions. There was some uncertainty. I don't want to disclose anything, but I still believe there's importance of protecting the folks that are on the longevity program that are the most needy and have the fewest options. This is a new direction for me, but it's one born out of necessity.
I would like to work on this bill. Two things happened with this bill, two things that are before us. We know the governor doesn't like the bill. And with what had happened the other night, we know what's happening there. I don't know what he's going to do. I know that the Senate just barely passed this version. I don't think we have the time to go back, to take this onto the floor and go back and negotiate with the length of time that we have in the legislative session to work out a compromise with the Senate. And I don't know, I can almost bet that it is, that we'd be just wasting our time, that we need to do other things just to get out of here. I just don't see how we can do it logistically with Senator Hocker.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to go to a couple of specific questions, but I would defer to your line of pursuit here.
Representative Harris?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I support this. I think that means testing is probably one of the things we talked about, not leaving behind the most needy of the state, although I know that different groups, pioneers, AARP, believe that it's not a dignified thing or whatever, but this allows it. I don't know whether the governor supports this or doesn't support it, but this allows those folks who truly need it to qualify. To receive it. And I only ask Representative Stoltz a question: is this? Do they have to apply under this bill? Do they have to apply once a month for eligibility, or how do they do that?
Mr. Chairman, I have to confess, I'm still working on the details, and I would rely on regulatory authority of the department as it's provided for.
I'm just wondering whether or not every month they have to reapply, or how they need to know whether they qualify or not, or what the story is.
Is he going to call in at ease for a minute? Representative Stoltz.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw this amendment, and I'll consider doing this on the floor with you.
Thank you, Representative Stoltz. I'd appreciate it if you would take this amendment to the floor.
Thank you, sir.
Representative?
Chairman?
Yes.
And with that, I move the Rules Committee CS for Senate Bill 177, Finance, and with the recommendations from Tax Fiscal.
Jack.
117,
I think you said
117.
Care to speak to your objection?
117, is that what I said?
No, I'll let you all know about it on the floor.
Okay. Call the roll.
Representative Stoltz?
Yes.
Representative Whitaker?
Yes.
Representative Chenault? Was that Berkowitz?
No.
Was that Foster?
No.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Representative Petula?
No.
Representative Meyer?
Yes.
Representative Moses?
No.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Paris?
Yes.
68-4-9.
Bill moves on committee with individual recommendations. TAP fiscal notes. You could stand by so that we could sign the bill. We will be in recess.